It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters here this Sunday morning. Another gorgeous weekend here in Atlanta. Who remembers? I didn't remember that November was the best month of the year. I do remember some Thanksgiving holidays where it was 70 degrees, but I thought that was an anomaly. We'll see where we end up this Thanksgiving week, but obviously a gorgeous weekend here in Atlanta. And today, I guess I want to talk about Thanksgiving. I want to talk about this conundrum that we've had kind of as a family. And I think so many families in America are having this conversation all throughout last week, of course, here on the weekend. But I want to get to that and talk a little bit about a perspective on COVID. I know that we're talking so much about it now as families as we head into the holiday. I want to put the vaccine into context too, because we had more vaccine news that came out this week. And then really just talk about being thankful for some of the things that have really hit home with me in the last couple of weeks, particularly modern medicine. And a lot of that has to do with just how much progress we've made in America. The other thought here, too, is that I want to be able to touch on today this thought that here we are in a season of political risk and the economic risk. We're not out of this pandemic yet. We have good news on the horizon. We've got $17 trillion worth of bonds yielding at about zero or less. I'll say that number again. That's $17 trillion with a T of bonds on the globe. Investors invested in that much money. And really just to me, the misperception of risk between stocks and bonds as we head into this holiday week and obviously into the new year. So maybe let me start with, and by the way, this week, just again, very, very choppy week for stocks. We ended up down a little less than 1% for the Dow and the S&P 500. The NASDAQ kind of eked out a little bit of a gain because we went back into this worry of lockdowns or more restrictions. And anytime that happens, you end up with the stay-at-home stocks doing better and the retro economy stocks that we talked about last week here on Money Matters lagging behind. And that's exactly what we saw this past week. So let's maybe talk to what's on our minds as we are here on this weekend headed into Thanksgiving this upcoming week. But it's really been a puzzle for so many families. This Thanksgiving 2020 is a very complicated puzzle with so many pieces. And I really haven't been able to figure out a better word than just confounded. You know, the Moss family has been confounded and just kind of stuck as to what to do. And let's talk about Thanksgiving for just a minute. Your family may or may not be having those same issues of that we're having in the Moss family as we head into this holiday week. Think about Thanksgiving, though. Thanksgiving is always such an emotional holiday. It's the start of the full holiday season. You know, people are eager to see each other. But if you think about it, people haven't seen each other for a while. And I'm not just talking about this Thanksgiving because of COVID. I'm talking about the typical holiday season. You haven't seen your family for a while, and that stretch of time leading up to Thanksgiving, if you have any family issues, those family issues kind of balloon, and then everyone gets together, and everyone eats too much, and probably drinks too much, and the balloon pops. And that's why Thanksgiving has this reputation of emotions running high. And now, maybe this has never happened with your family, but it has happened in my family time and time again. It's happened in my wife's family time and time again. And as I was thinking through this, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem with this. But this one is even more complicated. As we head into this coming Thursday, it's much more complicated because of COVID. And I think it just hurts more. Because this week, what have you been hit with? We've all been hit with and pounded over the head over and over again with front page headlines, whether it's the Wall Street Journal or the AJC or the CDC or the White House. What have they been telling us all week? Do not travel. They've been telling us, stay at home. Meanwhile, we've all been missing our families all year. And if you have, you've been missing your family so much that it, for so long, if they're out of state, you're ready to get together with them. And then, wham, we get this stadium of blaring speakers and sirens that says, look, you can't do it. You're not supposed to do it. So we have our family here, and this is the family conundrum that we've been trying to figure out. We have some family that really wants to make the trip from Los Angeles or from California and from Philadelphia. Everyone has their tickets, and some are planning to drive, some are planning to fly, but nobody can agree on what to do. Even among spouses, there is an agreement. My brother says one thing. He says, oh, it's fine. Everyone should come all in. Then my mom, who's almost 70, she's not in perfect health. She says, I don't care how dangerous it is. I'm coming. And then this past Thursday, we get California's governor, Gavin Newsom, implemented new restrictions. California, they said, look, if you leave, and this applies to my brother and his wife and his new baby in California, they're recommending that they, A, stay home, and B, if you come back, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days. Then, if your child, and this hit just this Friday, if your child is fortunate enough to be in school, I'm not talking about virtual, but actually be in the classroom, the notes started coming in this past week. We got a note from one of our schools, and we've got four kids, so we've got multiple different schools. We got a note on Friday that said, look, if you get together with 10 or more people, know that your children are going to have to quarantine and do virtual school for the next session of school. And the way that works is that the schools don't want you to be able to pop in and out of virtual and non. So they say, if you're going to go virtual, you got to go for 2 weeks, or in some cases, 3 weeks. So what happened, so Lynn called me on Friday and said, look, if your family comes next week, this is what it means. It means our kids can't go back to school. And because of the virtual time blocks, they'll actually, the way the timing works out because of the Christmas holiday, they wouldn't really go back until January 5th. So the price to pay, she said, Wes, if all goes perfectly and all goes well, is that Jake and Luke have to go virtual until the end of the year. Now, is that worth it? Man, there's so many cross currents to this, and there's so many variables, and it is very confounding. And in the end, I guess here's the end of the story, or at least for now, this is where we ended up, is that the Pennsylvania group and the California group have decided to wait. And it's sad. You know, it's yet another thing to add to the cancellation list of 2020. It's kind of heartbreaking. Now, here's the good news, though. Here's the good news, and this is the way I see it. This week, remember last week we talked about vaccine, and it was Vaccine Week in America. This week, I was a guest on, and this is the good news. I don't want to start the show out today with a somber note, and it isn't at all. But I was on a show this week here on WSB Radio with my friend Chris Chandler, who does such an amazing job with these Where Georgia Stands, COVID in Georgia, Where Georgia Stands. And we did a lot of these earlier in the year, and then I think people got burned out with COVID, and we stopped doing them for a while. And we just, now that things have really picked up with COVID, obviously we all know about these news stories, we did another one of these. And multiple guests were discussing the pandemic and where Georgia stands. And by the way, in aggregate, Georgia has one of the lowest transmission rates right now in the United States. Now, the media might think that's strange. We were supposed to be the worst place in America. We opened first. We were open late April, early May. Tattoo parlors and bowling alleys. What are you guys doing? Well, instead, as we sit here today, we're one of the best places in the country with as far as low transmission rates. But here's the point of this. There's so much difference in how we perceive COVID depending on our exposure. And I think it's important for us to understand at least each other's perspectives. There was a doctor on this COVID special, an emergency room doc, and he was very cautious. And here I am optimistic. I said, the vaccine's coming. This is awesome. But he was very cautious about the prospects of the COVID vaccine from Pfizer. When I mentioned it, and I said that Dr. Scott Gottlieb, he's a former FDA commissioner, he's now a commentator that talks about this on CNBC and the Financial News Channel. He's very positive on the vaccine. He said, whoa, just remember that guy Gottlieb, he's on the board of Pfizer. So let's not get too excited about the Pfizer vaccine. You know, he also talked about one of his younger, healthier patients that was going through COVID-19 said that it was, the patient said that it was worse than going through war. And that's why this pandemic is so difficult. It's just the disease of these extremes. We know that 100, if 100 people get COVID, 70 or 80 of them will have very little impact, some no impact, many no impact. But 20 or 30 of those folks will have a rough go, and 10% will have a really rough go, and around 1% might actually pass away. If you're a doctor and you're only dealing with the hardest hit 10%, then your perspective is according to that. So I get it. I absolutely understand the skepticism and the caution from the doctor on this show. Look, I don't want to go through COVID. Lynn's best friend has had a fever that has COVID down in Louisiana. She's had a fever now for 2 straight weeks. And we've all heard multiple stories like that. But I'm here to remind us and remind our listeners, and this is just my opinion, it's a very strong opinion, that despite the skepticism that we've heard throughout this pandemic from Fauci and from Osterholm and saying that there's no way that the vaccine's going to get here that fast, and the doctor this week saying, hey, not so fast, these vaccines, now Pfizer and Moderna, are going to be absolute complete game changers. And so much so, imagine Grady High School. I said this with the Von Hessler crew this week. Imagine a Grady High School football team. Imagine if all of a sudden they get Patrick Mahomes to play quarterback. He can score a dozen touchdowns in a game. That's how game changing these vaccines are. Now, when we've got to run to weather traffic, when we come back though, I want to try to put the 95% effectiveness or efficacy in a perspective for these vaccines. Because again, both Pfizer and Moderna are both close to this 95% level. But what does that really mean? I want to talk about what that means for a population. If we were to have 100,000 folks, what does it mean? What is happening today relative to once this gets implemented? Because I'm optimistic that as more vaccine makers come out, more companies say, hey, our trial worked, and I think there's going to be several of these, then the timeline when we can have most of America or everyone that wants to get a vaccine, that speeds up, and it speeds up in a dramatic way. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning, and welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss. I've been, before the break, I said we would break down and talk about try to put in context just what this game-changing vaccine news really means. Remember, now we have two of these vaccines, and they're both about 95% effective. What does that really mean as far as the reduction of the pandemic? We've talked about how this is the beginning of the end. We still haven't even rolled this out, but it's coming very, very soon. So let's talk about, I want to put 95% into perspective for a minute here. Let's assume there's no reduction of disease for the 5% that it doesn't prevent. Now, we know that it probably does from the Pfizer trial. If you read that, there were about 43,000 participants. Of the 10 severe cases of the whole trial, 9 of them were in the placebo group that didn't get the actual vaccine. So only one person out of 21,000 with the vaccine got really sick. One. But let's assume the 5% doesn't prevent severity. That means we'll just stick with the 95%. The 95% means that about 1% mortality rate, which we know COVID is much less than that in a lot of cases in age categories, and it's more than that if it's in some age categories, 70 plus. But let's say the 1% rate would then drop to 0.05%, which is a 20-fold reduction. That's what that's what 95% means. Now, what about when it comes to mortality or death per 100,000 people. I think it's a better way to wrap your arms around this. Deaths would drop from 1,000 per 100,000, so 100,000 people, 1,000 people at this one, at that 1% rate, would drop all the way down to 50. From 1,000 down to 50. 50 out of 100,000. The 250,000 or more deaths that we've seen in the United States, that would actually have been reduced to 12,500 because of this, because of the effect of this 95%. Again, let's look at this per age group. For ages 75 to 84, that age group, so hard hit by COVID, that would drop from 85,000 mortalities per 100,000 all the way down to 425. Survival rates would go from, in that group, would it go from 92% to over 99.5%. Now, what about the 33 to 44 age group? Deaths per 100,000 would go from currently at about 68 all the way down to 3. According to Live Science, that's about the same as what they label as pedestrian deaths, someone getting killed walking across the street. Just a totally game-changing development in the world of medicine and science. Here we are, it's almost December, and healthcare workers in the United States could get their first dose of a vaccine in the month of December. That means it is literally coming next month. So we can get through the next couple of tough months. The future that is waiting for us on the other side is so much brighter. The minute we can get vaccinated and the vaccination gets kicked in here in the United States, this economy will go from the five cylinders that it is operating on right now back to six cylinders. And that makes for a very strong 2021. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters here on this Sunday morning. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and yes, I've talked through the Moss conundrum of everyone ready to go flying in from California and Pennsylvania only to get warnings all week from every news agency on the planet and the CDC and the White House even say, look, just stay home. And you know, the conversations back and forth are, do we cancel, do we not? Everybody still wants to come, but maybe it's not a good idea. So we're just kind of caught in this web of indecision. And finally, everyone felt, I guess, most comfortable in just saying, we're going to wait. We still haven't seen each other for a long time, particularly my family outside of Atlanta, in Pennsylvania and in California. And my brother in California just had a baby that we still haven't met. My little sister, who has just had another baby a couple months ago, we still haven't met. And we are yearning, like so many families in America, to see each other and get together. And it's just, here we are headed into the winter, and we're going to postpone it. Now, part of that is that I feel like the light is close. The light at the end of the tunnel is relatively close. It's not tomorrow that these vaccines are going to be rolled out, but it's going to be pretty soon. We talked about HHS, the Health and Human Services, Alex Azar said, look, we're going to get this thing shipped the minute the FDA approves these things. You're going to see vaccines on a truck that next day, and we're talking about millions and millions of these doses. And the more companies that come out, in fact, AstraZeneca came out this week and said, even though they haven't published their phase 3 trials, they may be ready just as quickly as Pfizer and Moderna when it comes to getting vaccines to the population. The more pharmaceutical companies that come out with an approved vaccine, the faster and more accelerated that timeline will be. Now, I want to switch gears here. We've talked a lot about the good news, and that is coming over the next several months, but it's not right away. And in the meantime, we have to deal with the threat of things not going perfectly, like the threat of new lockdowns. We've already seen more restrictions in many states around the nation. We know that what is that going to do? We know it's not good for the economy. It's going to put more people out of work. Yes, we will very likely have a new stimulus package to make up for some of it. I really think we will. But in the meantime, there is this period of time where things are not perfect or rosy in the economy. We're still in a pandemic, and that can very well manifest itself in markets. So we can choose as investors to invest in a variety of different asset classes. We can look at stocks and bonds and gold and real estate, and the options are really endless. But what's interesting is that as investors, if we choose to own something that today is still perceived as low risk, and that's this topic of owning bonds. Today, there are $17 trillion of negative trading debt around the globe. That means that $17 trillion of fixed income or bonds has a coupon of virtually or at zero or a negative interest rate, which means you actually are locking in to lose money by owning one of these. And this is not a small, this number has never been this large. We talked about this about a year ago when the number got big. Then it came down as interest rates went back up. And now we're back to a point where we're at the highest we've ever seen in the history of finance and the globe. So we can choose as investors to own these bonds that pay zero, but and we would do that. Think about why we'd do that. We'd do that in this perception that bonds are the safe place to hold money. It's, quote, safe, right? We don't want to be in stocks because stocks are volatile. But remember, if interest rates start to rise, you will collect, again, if you own some of this zero interest debt or negative debt, you will, as interest rates rise, you will collect nothing from in interest or your coupon, and those bond prices will go down. And who wants a 0% yielding bond if rates then climb to 2% or 3%? It's going to push the price down on those bonds that are paying zero. So the world, in fact, if you look at the charts, it's fascinating to me. The Italian five-year bonds were Italian five-year bonds. Think about the financial stability of Italy relative to the United States. Italian five-year bonds trading in negative territory this past week. Well, here we are pushing global debt to about $17 trillion, which is, at this point, we've never seen anything like that. So the world still has this perception, and the only reason I can think that why they're so popular is the world still has the perception that bonds are safe and stocks are risky. Maybe it's the other way around. I actually do think of it as the other way around. I think it is risky to not own stocks. Now, if the reason we own bonds is for income, that if we have $17 trillion worth of fixed income that is yielding zero, then that's not the case anymore. But we know we can own stocks for income. Remember that stocks, on average, have grown. And I'm just talking about the S&P 500. And if you haven't read my article about the power of dividend growth on my website, it's probably the most important article, I think, or white paper I've written in the more than decade I've been doing this show. Remember that stocks, on average, have grown their cash flows to investors, a.k.a. the dividend, cash flow equals dividend, at about 6%, actually more than this, but let's call it 6% per year on average versus inflation that has, again, eroded your purchasing power by 3% per year. So dividends, where else are we finding something, a cash stream that is growing at 6% when inflation is at 3%? That's double the rate of inflation in any given year on average over time. Where else can we do that? Where else can we grow? Where else can you grow your income at that pace for that long? Let me put this into context for a minute. Imagine a 40-year career working for any company you can think of. 40-year career at multiple companies, let's say. That's fine. Let's assume that you don't just stay at one company, because we know if you stay at one company, the amount you're getting raises in your income is going to be nowhere close to 6% a year. But let's say you were able to jump around from company to company and take a higher salary or a better deal or better commission package. Or If you started at $50,000 and you had, again, at age 25, $50,000 at age 25, and you grew your income by 6% per year at work. This is you, you're working at companies or your own business for that matter. At $50,000 a year at age 25, you grew your income by 6% per year. By the time you retired at 65, how much would you be making? I'm just going to do the math. $50,000 for 40 years at 6% per year, you'd be making $514,000 a year. That's $50,000 a year to over $500,000 a year in salary. Think about that for a minute. How many people get to that level? How many people get to $500,000 in salary per year? Well, we know the answer to that. It's less than 1% of people do that. But here's what's interesting. 100% of investors can grow their income at that torrid pace. It's very rare to be able to do. And again, I'm talking about two different things, but they're both where I'm talking about growing income. If you're out in the world of in the corporate world or the working world, or really for any world for that matter, when it comes to what you're earning, really tough to consistently grow, particularly for decades and decades, to grow your income, your wage income at 6% a year. And from the example I just gave here, $50,000 to $500,000, that would be a 6% compounded growth year over year for 40 years. How many people really do that? About less than 1% of people ever get to that point. However, 100% of investors can grow their investment income at that torrid pace. And thankfully, this is something we can all access. We can all invest in the S&P 500. We can all invest in the just plethora of low-cost ETFs, index funds, or individual dividend-paying stocks that can get us to that same rate of income growth. And that I'm thankful for. And speaking of that, I am, as we talk through all these medical developments and the medicine side of this really kind of hits home to me with a family of four little kids. And no one's family just sails through and everything's perfect and everyone's healthy all the time, right? So as a parent, you're always going through things with your kids, and I think it gives us, maybe it gives me a heightened awareness and a heightened appreciation for just how amazingly good science is in America. And I'm thankful that we live right now. I'm thankful that we live in 2020. Any other time in history, what we are living through today when it comes to this pandemic would be 5 times worse or 10 times worse or 100 times worse. And here we are, despite all the troubles of 2020, despite all the cancellations that we've mounted this year, far longer than the initiations that we have been able to make. The troubles of 2020, we are the beneficiaries of all the hard work that all of our ancestors and our forefathers and our parents and our grandparents and all their knowledge that has compounded into the kind of miracle, the true miracle of science that we live with today. I'm not talking about miracles out of nowhere. I'm talking about miracles that have come from just the work and the hours and the conviction and the vision of science for really hundreds of years, but particularly in the last 100 years, that have just been an absolute game changer to medicine and extending our lives and increasing the quality of our life here in the United States. So as you and your family go through, let's say, all of us in 2020 have gone through difficult times, whether it is financially or it's been medically, and we've had to deal with COVID or all of the other things that, by the way, don't go away. And I want to tell you a quick story, but we got to run to a quick break, and then I'll come back and we'll wrap up with a quick story about COVID not going away and all the other things that we still have to face in addition to COVID and the pandemic that we live in as we head into this very, very different Thanksgiving week. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned. Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters here on this Sunday morning. Headed into the holiday week, Thanksgiving ahead of us. And I'm talking about what really I'm thankful for. And I'm reminded, even though it's disappointing that I'm not going to see the family that I thought I might see this holiday week, because they're coming from way across the country and way up north and way out west, and both my brother and my sister that live outside of Georgia both have little kids, and it's just a lot right now to be going through airports or even driving from these long distances. So we're waiting, and I'm very optimistic about this spring. We've talked a lot about the vaccine and how I think that those timelines will get accelerated even more once we have more big pharmaceutical companies that come out with positive trial results. And now the supply goes from 50 million a month to 100 to 150 to 200 million potentially in a given month. So I'm optimistic that this timeline will be accelerated. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm disappointed that I won't see my cherished family and loved ones that I haven't seen for a long time in person. But I'm optimistic that I'll be able to do that really, really soon. So I'm thankful that we live in 2020, and all these other things that don't go away. The story that I wanted to quickly tell is that I had a stuffy nose. This is about maybe a month or two ago. Stuffy nose went to my throat, went into my chest, and I felt pretty sick, and I couldn't get rid of it. So I got a COVID test. It was negative. I got another COVID test. It was negative. But it still didn't go away. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, none of the other things, none of the other viruses that come around in the fall when your kids go back to school, they don't go away just because we're in a pandemic. And I think about all of the other trials and hardships that we are still going through as Americans on top of COVID, or all of the things like cancer, diabetes, and all these other things, mental health that is obviously not good. There's a statistic I heard this week that on average in a 12-month period, if you look at the age group, 18 to 25-year-olds, on average over a 12-month period of time, anywhere from, call it 6 to 11% of that group contemplates suicide. This is this age group, 18 to 25, over a 12-month period, 6 to 11% contemplate suicide. That sounds terrible. Until you hear about this year, when that group, 18 to 25, 25% of that group has contemplated it. And that's over a 1 month period of time, because this is a tough time. However, no matter how tough it is, just remember that there is no better time to be alive. There's no better time to live. There's no safer time to live. And there's no more prosperous time to be alive. And I am thankful for I'm thankful that my family, on this eve of this Thanksgiving, that my four sons get to grow up right now, today, in this world that has so much for so many. Enjoy this Thanksgiving week, however you choose to gather. I think that next Thanksgiving dinners will probably be bigger and bigger gatherings, but for now, let's enjoy the time we have with our loved ones. And please stay safe. You can find me in the Money Matters team. It's easy to do so. My website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Please enjoy, please stay safe, and happy Thanksgiving.